Good afternoon. You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program Weekly Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Beth Weisong, and on today's program, we have four students and two educators who this past June traveled to El Paso, Texas, to participate in a collaborative leadership program. This experience between the Aspen Chapel and the World Leadership School allowed participants to be immersed in the Mexican-American culture, where they partnered with local NGOs to learn about what takes place at the Texas border. So I'm grateful to have all these four students and two adult chaperones with us. Can we go around and everyone introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, this is Nanette Weinhold. I'm the capstone coordinator at Basalt High School. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Hi there. I am Michelle Scoggin, and I am the youth coordinator at the Aspen Chapel, as well as an instructor for World Leadership School, and we are very excited to be here.
Hi. My name is Nicole Pearson. I'm a student at Colorado Rocky Mountain School in Carbondale.
Hello. I am Carolina Robinson, and I am a student at Aspen High School.
Hello, I am Carla Soto, and I am a student at Basalt High School.
I am Gabriela Silva, and I am a student at Basalt High School.
All right, listeners, you can tell we have a packed studio here today, but a bunch of smiling faces with a lot of information to share with us, so we're grateful that you guys are here. And Michelle, let's start with you. Can you paint a picture of the leadership program for us, and how did you and the students become a part of this opportunity?
Well, World Leadership School works with independent schools around the United States, and we curate programs around the world for students to be immersed in cultures and to investigate some of the pressing issues that various regions are facing. And they're often exposed to local leaders who are addressing these problems on a local grassroots level. And so they get a chance to meet a lot of different individuals who have a lot of different perspectives. And in the meantime, they are brought together as a group. They build community within their small group, and then they are put out into the community and they build community that way. And it's really about harnessing leadership from within, but also learning what these issues are and how one might be inspired to address the issues back at home.
Okay, so it sounds like this was something you had a lot of preparation for before you left.
Somewhat, actually. So as a youth coordinator for the Aspen Chapel, I saw an opportunity in our valley to work beyond the independent schools that we typically work with and go out and make an open enrollment program for students from a variety of public schools and independent schools, and bring multiple perspectives together. So the dream was really to work with students throughout the valley so that they could blend their perspectives and continue a relationship beyond the trip.
Okay. And yeah. So you chose to go to El Paso, Texas.
Yes.
And when did you all head that way? When were you there?
June. Let's see. Well, let's back up. We started working on the program around mid-February, started getting the word out. I visited various schools throughout the valley and communicated with people like Nanette, who I knew from teaching before. And we finally got a group together about a week before we left, which was, what, June 10th?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, girls, let's turn it over to you. What was a typical day like for you while in El Paso? Tell us about some of the highlights or the experiences. And if you want to say your name before you...
Nicole speaking. So we really didn't have a typical day when we were in El Paso. It was kind of... it was really totally different every single day. We never repeated anything other than meals. Yeah, I mean, we spoke with all different immigrant families or individual immigrants. We talked with doctors. I mean, other people can talk as well about things, Carolina.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so we met with a lot of different people. And then, like, some days we were staying in a house in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And so some days we did activities that were centered there and more, like, around like the border and the immigrants in New Mexico. And then other days we would drive like about an hour into El Paso, Texas, and we do activities there and talk with immigrant families in Texas as well.
Okay. And when you say activities, what were some of the activities you participated in?
We would go and listen to immigrant stories and speak with immigrants or work with local NGOs that work with helping immigrant families and just the process and educating people.
Yeah, we definitely did a lot, and I don't think we ever had any time for downtime. We were always doing something throughout the day, and we would all get home, like, well, home to the house. We just started calling it home at that point. Just tired, but we would all just process it together, everything we learned throughout that day.
Okay, so what were some of the things you learned? What were some of the facts you want to bring back to us?
There is quite a bit of information, and honestly, I took it all back. I tried to process it all. It's really quite a lot. But one thing that mostly stuck out to me was the information we got from talking to the Border Patrol. And usually there's this stereotype around Border Patrol men or women that they are just mean people or that they're bad people. But really, they were really very nice. They were friendly. They were very friendly. And I learned a lot from them and how they perceive the issue of immigration and how they do their job. And it's really one of the quotes that I remember is one of the Border Patrol said that they just follow the law. They don't make the laws. And so their job is only to follow the law. They can't really change it. They're just, their job is to follow it and prosecute these immigrants no matter what, even if they cross the border seeking asylum, no matter what. That's just their job.
Yeah. And so something that was really interesting is, as I've done research just for my own interest and for school projects and such, I've learned about the border and kind of like we do at the border, there is a large problem with like the amount of people coming in, but I never really processed it until we went and there was the bridge which people use to cross over from Mexico to the U.S. And there's a pedestrian walkway across the bridge, and the entire way through, it was filled with people who had been waiting like days, or like they had been waiting for hours or days to just even get a chance to come to the middle section and meet with the agents who are at the top of the bridge to grant access into the U.S. And then from there, you could see people who were walking down and then getting immediately led to one of the centers for immigrants. And that was just something that struck me like very powerfully, because I'd never had a very good visual representation of how many people are coming in and like how everything is being processed and how overwhelmed everything really is.
And to me, something that was really interesting was going and viewing all the court cases we went and were at. And it was really kind of sad and interesting to learn that there's a row of people, about six of them, standing to be to get their sentencing. And something that I found interesting was realizing that after they try to cross once and receive a bar, they receive a felony. And so it's a misdemeanor felony, which isn't one of the higher class felonies, but is one that is on your record forever. So something that I kind of connected was, well, like people think everyone coming in is a criminal. And so learning that sometimes we say things like that and don't know all the reasoning behind it, and that like they're not trying to be people who are getting felonies, and that just kind of happens because they're trying to cross here and don't get granted asylum.
And something for me was just living in a community where there is a lot of immigrants. I just, when I went over there, I just could see we live in such a safe community for immigrants, and over there it's just a lot more risky because they are so close to the border and they are so close to like being caught by Border Patrol. I remember like just driving around and seeing like the vans, and it's something that here we don't really see. So it was just a different viewpoint, and it just opened my eyes a lot to that.
Okay. And so you say you were seeing lots of people, but you also spoke with families, I understand. What did you learn from speaking with people? I understand that all of you speak Spanish. So were you un poquito. So you were studying your Spanish while you were there. What did you learn by talking to people at the border?
Something I learned, and I actually was really connected to one of the families because I started crying when I was like talking to them, was just, she said she did everything for her kids and that her kids are going to live out her dream. And I think that stuck with me just because I am living my parents' dream and I am going to succeed like they want me to. So just talking to every family and talking to all the people we did just really assured me that I am doing the right thing and I am making my parents proud in that way.
And then something that stuck out to me was with speaking to the families is how open lots of them are to sharing their story so other people can learn from it and just have their story out there so like people know why they are coming here and it's not just kind of like a big mystery. So that's something I found really interesting about all the families.
Yeah, and one of the things that stuck out to me is one of the people that we met with, she worked as a doctor in Mexico, just in the city across the border, and she did something that I thought was really, really impressive, was she provided, like, almost, like, really low price, almost kind of, like, free care for the people in the city who didn't have the option or didn't have the money to be able to get like really simple like checkups or like dental cleanings and stuff like that done. And so I thought that that was something really impressive and really powerful, is that she used her experience as a doctor and then provided like really common services to the people who couldn't pay the expenses that it would cost at a normal hospital.
And I would say, kind of going off of what Gabby and Carla both said, all of these immigrants' intentions were to help others that they loved. It wasn't personal. It wasn't just because of the American dream or whatever. But it was all to help someone they loved. For example, we talked to a woman who came to the U.S. looking for medical services for her daughter. Her daughter was really, really sick. They actually did provide medical services. However, at some point, the daughter was supposed to be sent back to Mexico. The mother pleaded a lot, very, very much, to the doctors, hoping that they could either send her back with medication or something to help her, but she ended up dying. And it's kind of just shows, even if people coming into the U.S. are looking for simple things such as medication, something to keep their life going, that it won't always pan out for them, and it's really very shocking.
You know, this was my third or fourth trip to El Paso, and every time I'm always stumped by how impossible it actually is to cross legally, to get to be granted asylum. I think that most families have a 2% chance of getting their case granted. And so it really helps us understand why people make the choices they do to either cross in between borders or to overstay their visas. And I think that's the most, because a lot of them, you know, I think that if we were to learn more about what's going on in Central America, we might understand what people are fleeing for. But And it really, like Nicole said, it's not really just about obtaining the American dream. It's, for many, it's about survival. But because of the way the law is written, it's becoming more and more impossible to seek asylum.
So what, after all these experiences that you saw and you talked to people, what do you want people here, our listeners, to understand about the situation? What's one takeaway that you want people to know now that you have the opportunity to reflect on your experience?
I would say the most important thing is for them to learn themselves, to look up information from multiple sources, because sources can be very misleading. However, going to the border and actually seeing it for yourself is a totally different way of obtaining knowledge. It's pure. It's not biased or changed by news. And I think the best way for people to take action is to learn themselves and to obtain actual and pure knowledge.
Yeah, so I think it's like in this valley, we're a little bit detached, or we can be. And I think a really big thing is, like Nicole said, to learn and then take that information and like spread it through the valley, kind of like we are doing now, and just like to really get people to understand like what all of like our immigrants in this valley have gone through to get here, and like the immense like powerful stories that they have and the motivation that they have that have driven them from their homes into the U.S.
Something I would say would be to also research NGOs, non-government operations that work with immigrants, because there's ways you can learn a lot from them, and there's a lot of them, and we have many in the valley that prior to this I really didn't really know about. And so it's a good idea to look into the community and then look beyond the community in ways you can find to help and just learn like everyone else said.
Something I think people should know, it's just not to make assumptions really quick, just to get to learn a lot more, because it is very hard to decide to leave your family and your home and your lifestyle in a different country like Mexico and just up and say, I need a better life for myself, I need a better life for my family. And then coming here, and you don't really get an easy job. We talked to farm workers and we learned that they don't really get much sleep. They're always trying to get out and find like work at the farm, and works at farm aren't very easy either because you're under the sun, and it's just a lot that goes into it. So immigrants don't get really like easy jobs, I guess you could say. It's more like jobs that people wouldn't want to do because it's just a lot of labor. But just understanding everything they go to just to be here, and that we are all the same, and just not to judge people by how they look, but really get to know them and get a personal connection with them.
Very powerful things you all are saying. You're talking about investing in your community with this experience. And so what are you going to do next other than speaking at KDNK? Is you're taking all this reflection, and is it, what do you hope to do with it next?
I think the best thing to do, like Carolina said, is just spread the knowledge that you have, like we are now, but mostly within people who are close to you, inner families who will listen to you and will understand what you're saying. You can even put up flyers, put up information for people just kind of randomly in a school, or like give presentations at schools or whatever. But I know that Gabriella has a very special video that she's spreading. So,
can you tell us about that video, Gabriella?
Yeah, so this whole idea started with Nanette coming to talk to us about a capstone we have to do, and I really just didn't know how to start it, but she talked about this trip to El Paso, and I was like, well, that sounds interesting, but I didn't know how I could connect it to capstone. And I was like, well, I'll just make a good documentary out of it. I'll just go and learn things, take video of things, and just put it together and come back and show it to my school, just because it was like my capstone and I just had to present it. But then once I came back, I was like, why just, let's not stop with school, but let's teach it to the whole community and show it around different places to see whose attention it gets and just get the word out. And that's how I just came back and learned from that.
Where are people going to be able to view this documentary? Are you still working on it?
Yeah, I am. Still, it's still in the works, but I will be getting it done. Hopefully just a short clip for August 18th for our showing that we have to do at the chapel, at the Aspen Chapel. And then it'll be short, and then I'll just hopefully keep adding to it. It won't be that long, but it'll have more.
So you mentioned the presentation at the Aspen Chapel on August 18th.
Yeah.
Can somebody speak to that a little bit more?
So we are going to be having a service that's dedicated kind of to what we went and worked with at Michelle in the Border. And there's going to be a poem presented by Fiona, who is one of the girls that came with us. And we're going to have Gabby's movie showing there, and a slideshow that I've created with pictures and information. And we're all going to be there answering questions and just sharing our knowledge with everyone who chooses to come.
Okay. And did you mention the time? Sorry.
It's at 9:30 on Sunday morning, August 18th. Everyone is welcome.
Okay, great. Moving forward, it sounds like you have a lot of things to do to celebrate what you learned and share with the community. Is there anything else you want to add or people you want to recognize before we're out of time, just about your experience, another gem you want to share before we today?
I really want to thank Michelle and Nanette for putting it together and coming with us and mentoring us through everything.
Yeah, I want to thank them too, because just before we were going to leave, we didn't really think it was going to happen because there wasn't enough people. But I don't think Michelle and Annette ever gave up to look for people and actually make this happen. So I'm very thankful for them and thankful for the organizations we worked with at El Paso too, just because they helped us learn a lot. And just to my parents too, just because they let me go on the trip and they found, like, just opened my eyes too.
I just want to say one more connection that I had for any of those who are listening who play a sport, or specifically soccer in this case. Mm-hmm. You can connect with absolutely anybody, because soccer is kind of a worldwide sport. And one day we went and saw this family staying in a church, and all the kids were like, let's go play soccer, but they all said it in Spanish. I am not a fluent Spanish speaker, but I kind of understood what they were saying. But we all connected by playing soccer together. And it was kind of really cool, because even though we didn't really have anything in common, we didn't even speak the same language. But we all were just playing soccer outside for a little bit, and it was super, super fun. So highly recommend anybody who plays soccer to just find someone and play soccer with them.
Yeah, overall, I'm just, like, really grateful to everyone who was part of this trip. Not only, like, Michelle and Annette, who were our chaperones and kind of organized the whole thing, but also to the families down there who, like, some of them kind of put themselves at risk by speaking to us. And I'm really grateful that they did, because we got really important and really powerful insight into what's actually happening down there. And I'm just really grateful to all of the people who agreed to speak with us and tell their stories and just kind of show us more about what their life is like.
I just want to say a couple things. One, that I'm so proud of these young women, and just witnessing the way they just stepped into the unknown and just really immersed themselves and felt everything that was to be felt. Didn't try to put up any armor or anything like that, and just very open. And also, if anyone's listening out there who, I think, as a, I feel like a very privileged person, and just finding ways to support young people so that they can have these experiences, because, I mean, just being there for a week and seeing the growth and the evolution in these young women and step into a leadership role from the minute that we started heading towards the plane and all the conversations and everything like that. I just think it's really important that we continue to support our young people. So anyhow, that's my...
Well, that's beautifully said. Thank you guys so much, ladies, for being here and sharing your experience with us today on the Andy Zink Youth Empowerment Program. And I know you're going to do some great work in the community, and we were all really inspired by what you had to share. So thanks so much. And for more information about the World Leadership School, you can go to worldleadership.com. I'm sorry. Thank you. worldleadershipschool.com. And we appreciate all your commitment to the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Andy Zanke Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK.